These challenges, if you overcome them, they give you strength and they show you who you are and what you can or cannot deal with.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Stelly Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Stelly's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right, so what do we want to talk about today?
So both of us recently did an interview on the Zen Founder podcast about founders and basically their origin stories. And I think that that would be a great one to talk about because I just listened to yours and I know you listened to mine a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I did listen to yours and it blew my mind. It's interesting. So it was both a profound experience giving that interview, but also listening to mine as well as yours.
Yeah.
So, well, let's first tell people what was that interview all about.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's give some context. So basically, I think our mutual friend at this point, Rob Walling and his wife, Sherry, they do a podcast called Zen Founder. And Rob also runs MicroConf, which is one of our favorite conferences. We've talked about it before. One of mine.
Yep.
I don't know about Stelly yet.
No.
He's only been once, so I don't know.
But it's episode two of the podcast. You can listen
about
that.
We talked about MicroConf. And they wanted to interview entrepreneurs and about basically their childhood, early entrepreneurship, what they kind of went through. And they're essentially just trying to document this and sort of allow other people to like kind of learn from these stories.
Yep.
And I'm sure they'll do a summary and find patterns and stuff like that. So I think there was at least half a dozen, if not more, people that have done these. Mine came out 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
And yours came out literally like 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah. The interesting thing about those interviews was that I've given a ton of interviews. You have too.
Yes.
Nobody ever focused as much on my childhood as kind of an origin story, as a way to understand what shaped me as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I've told my entrepreneurial story many times, and my childhood has a little bit to do with it. But I've never zeroed in as much. And there were a few like aha moments I had in that interview. I mean, Cheryl is really good at what she does. She's a psychologist and she's been married to an entrepreneur her whole life. So she has kind of both interesting perspective. Yeah. But there was a lot of interesting stuff, like listening to what shaped somebody in early childhood and how that influenced them to who they are today. And especially in our cases, how that influences to be the entrepreneurs we are today.
Yeah.
So how do we want to do this? I have a few questions for you after listening to your interview. I'm sure you have some too. But also, I think what we want to do is we want to share some of the kind of tidbits we took away from that and share it with the audience, because I think there's a lot of value in self-study and understanding your own origin story and how that influences you today as an entrepreneur.
So basically the reason we're doing this is, one, obviously to promote something we were both on.
Yes,
you know, because we're hustlers like that, apparently.
Of course.
But the other reason is to basically help all of you that are listening potentially think about your origin story and where you came from and how that shapes what you do and why you do it. Because that's essentially what I think I got out of sort of the conversation.
All right, so let's jump right into the essence of it. So for people who need to understand what was the takeaway that you took out of that interview, what was something that surprised yourself learning about yourself while giving that interview?
Yeah, so I've been on this journey of trying to understand myself better by looking at kind of my childhood quite a bit. For me specifically, it was not boring. My childhood, I don't think yours was either, Stelly.
No.
And many people's aren't, especially if they have the desire to start new things for some reason. It's kind of related in a lot of ways. But for me, what I got out of it was it helped me understand some of the automatic judgments and decisions and opinions that I have and where they actually came from.
Can you give me as an example?
So one stupid example, and this is kind of stupid that I didn't even talk about in that interview. So I think it's actually pretty interesting, is that when I was growing up, my mother passed away when I was 8, and I had a lot of and this is actually this was in the interview. Now I remember. I started dating my wife when she was 15, and by the time I was 17, I'd hold her belly and say my baby's going to be in there.
Yeah.
And you know, Sherry really brought to light that like I was looking for somebody to fill that gap in my life of not having a mother from an early age, and so that sort of spun up my desire to basically be kind of abnormal, I would say, or out of the norm, if not abnormal, when it came to childhood and finding a partner and stuff like that. And I think that was really insightful in the sense that I never connected that to my mother passing away, believe it or not. But I'm sure if anyone hears that, they would connect it. But I did it.
This is a really good shit. And I remember you telling that story.
Yeah.
And Cheryl zeroing in on like the, could you imagine this meaning this? And you could literally hear it clicking for you. You going, oh yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what it means. Damn it. For me, so besides us talking a little bit about the interview and kind of things that were interesting to us, I think what we're going to ask you guys is to ask some deeper questions. Maybe take some time to think about your early childhood and how the way you grew up and how it influences who you are today. I think for me, one interesting thing was that I've always known that I had a shitty childhood in some regards, in the sense that kind of a lot of shit happened all at once, like tons of people, like a bunch of people in our family dying, one of them being my father, us being kicked out of our house, the family not speaking to my mom. Just like it seemed for a moment in time, up till the age of 6, it seemed like life was perfect. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like the whole world turned around and was just like fucking with us. And I remember very vividly growing up with the sense of the world is against me. Like I took it personally, like everything is against me. So I knew that I had that kind of as a chip on my shoulder, and that plus my experience in school of teachers telling me I'm not shit and never going to amount to anything, all that accumulated to my desire to prove myself, right? So I knew that that was a big driver and a big part of my ambition. But the thing that was surprising, the thing I learned in that interview with on the Zen Founder podcast and with Sherry, is that so I knew that I had a hard-ish childhood. I mean, there are people that have much harder stories to tell than that. And I knew that my mom was amazing in the sense that she was a constant source of love. But the thing that was pointed out in the interview was that, you know, she interviewed a bunch of founders, you and I, and a bunch of other people. And the one common theme, it seems, is that people had like some challenge in their early childhood and some hard times, but they still had some support system. So they didn't break.
Yeah.
So you know, it seems common for entrepreneurs to having like challenges in their early childhood, but not such huge challenges and kind of zero support, because in that type of environment, you just might break as a human being, right? And that really clicked for me, because I was like, yeah, that's spot on. I did have a lot of challenges, but I did have my mother that was a constant source of unconditional love. So I never felt not loved. Right? Which is like this massive thing as a child. It's like the number one thing you need to kind of function is to know that you're worthy of love. So knowing that maybe having that love plus these challenges, it's the combination of the two that might have turned me into what I am today. And as a father, I have a lot of thoughts about this as well, because I worry about my children having too good of a life, like, which is just stupid. Most people want a perfect life for their children, but I'm like, I want them to struggle a little bit too. I want them to have some challenges, because these challenges, if you overcome them, they give you strength and they show you who you are and what you can or cannot deal with, which the people I know that grew up with like perfect environments, perfect households and everything, I hate to say, but they were not the strongest personalities a lot of the time. And the people that went through some shit are some of the most charismatic and character strong people I know. So I'm like, how can I give that to my children, you know, without messing with them? So anyway, so the challenge plus challenge, but not too much, not challenge to the degree where it breaks you as a human being, that is a combination that makes for great entrepreneurs. That's kind of a big aha and big takeaway that I took out of that interview.
Yeah. I had the same in my father. He was basically a similar unconditional love, regardless, didn't use the word a lot. Yep. We didn't even hug, to be honest, but I knew it was there. And, without him, I don't think a lot of that stuff would have been as easy for me. Yeah. I'd give this at the end, but I'm gonna give it right now. But like, it's so related. Like, I actually ask this in interviews when I interview people for like hiring, is when's the first time in your life that you remember being really stressed out?
Mm.
And generally, this is in my experience. I've asked probably, I'd say, at least 50 to 100 people this. And in my experience, they start with something that's actually not that stressful. So for me, it was my co-founder and I lost $1 million. Right. When in a business, it was our own money, and that felt really stressful when I asked myself that question first. Then I realized actually the time I was most stressed was when my mom passed away when I was 8, but I didn't really realize it. And I didn't cry that day or anything like that, and it was just because I was very well prepped and other reasons of just sort of, there was, my mom basically passed away in her house with surrounded by her family. Everyone else was crying. And my dad wasn't, and I wasn't. So what's the point? We were good.
Yeah.
So I think that I would challenge all of you, if you're considering a startup or considering being in a high-paced environment like a startup, Like, there's generally a challenge that you've had that's been early enough in your life that it shaped the way you think about stress and the way you think about hardship. And one example I'll give for Stelly is like, I make fun of him because he's a sales guy, and you know, sales guys suck. Like, and we've talked about this in one of the interviews. And,
fuck you.
You know, how you like that? Hey, you could say marketers suck too. I'm good. I'll take it. But, you know, and hearing his story made me realize that, well, actually, I wouldn't call Stelly a sales guy anymore. I would say he's basically the closest thing to a hustler, a true hustler that you've ever seen, because, or that you'll see, because he says himself, I thought the world was against me. And that is starkly different to how I think about the world. But that shapes you and your hustle. If you think the world's against you, then you know there's only one thing you can do, which is do shit.
Yeah.
Like a hustler.
But so I don't think that anymore. So my I've gone through a journey, which I'm sure most of you have, in terms of what drove me, what shaped me. I think there's a certain ambition. 50 Cent always says ambition. I think people are born with ambition. It's not something that's learned. It's interesting because I remember being like 4 or 5 years old before things really went down and telling my mom, I'm going to be like Alexander the Great or some shit like that. I had that sense for greatness without any context or any content, like any real reason for it. So I feel like part of the ambition that drives me is in my DNA. It's just part of who I am. But then for my earliest years as an entrepreneur, I was totally driven by that. Like, the world is against, I'm going to prove the world that I'm great. And I'm going to be successful to make a point and to prove everyone wrong. And then to protect my family and the people I love. Those were the main reasons. And the way that I would measure that was money. Like, I'm going to make a shit ton of money. But I realized the first time I made, and I was lucky enough that I really was lucky enough that the first kind of business I did was very focused on sales. So I was good at it, right? I just totally lucked out on that. That when I was 19 and I was making, for my environment, an insane amount of money. You know, I made more money in a month. I remember when I was 19, I made like $30,000 in a month. And my mom wasn't making that in a year. And that was the moment. And thankfully enough, it was early enough where I realized, oh shit.
Money's not the problem.
This is not what I was looking for, right? And this was not like, and it was one day, I remember the day getting that check, and at the same day getting a call from an employee that was really excited about something they accomplished. And I remember the rush, feeling the rush and excitement and pride and with that call with my employee versus the check. And that was the moment where I was like, oh shit. And I was really disappointed. Oh shit. I don't really care about money. Like, that's a downer. Like, I thought that would be really awesome, but no, I really don't care about money. So I think fast forwarding to today, maybe part of that hustle that drives me has to do with like how I grew up and having to fight for things. But I don't think I look at the world today as like I'm fighting against somebody. It's like I'm just trying to do more of the thing that I think will impact the world, but whatever. But it's interesting that's the thing that you picked up out of that interview. And also that you're asking people, when was the time that you were really stressed in the interview? Let me throw another of my tips. And when I interview people in terms of like finding the right people to join your team, one question that I asked to a lot of people is, you know, what they really want to be when they grow up, or in, you know, 5 or 10 years, nothing could go wrong. Everything goes your way. Where are you? What are you doing? Just tell me about it. And many people that come and want to work for us have entrepreneurial aspirations. So even if they want a job with us, they go, at some point, I want to start my own business. And that's awesome. Like, I love that. So then my question is, why? Why do you want to be an entrepreneur? And I use the kind of whatever the approach is, the three whys,
it's
five
whys. Five whys.
The yeah. Five whys. And it's so interesting because I'll ask somebody, oh, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? They'll go, yeah, because I really like to build things and I want to make a difference and I think it would be really exciting. And then I go, why? Why is that important to you? Why is it doing something and having an impact and doing something exciting? Why are these things that you care about? And then they go, well, then give me another layer of bullshit. Well, because, you know, I just think that the world could be so much greater and I think that I have ideas that are blah and this and this and that and that. And I go, cool, why do you care about these things? Like, why do you think that is?
Oh, then they say they're passionate about it, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. And then usually around the fourth or fifth why, they have to take a pause. They take a minute and they have to go inside and do some self-reflection, which is when you know that now we're getting to something. And they go, oh, good question. Which is like, I've been asking this question for, you know, 10 minutes. They go, oh, shit, good question. And you can tell, like, I never thought about this. And they go inside and they do some self-reflection. Typically, they either close their eyes or their eyes go down or something. You can tell they're now like disconnected from telling me some bullshit thing and trying to explore themselves, their own feelings and thoughts. And then something comes up like, well, you know, growing up, my dad lost his job and it was really hard for my family. And I just decided that I want to be in control of my own fate. And I'm like, whoa, now we have something, right? Bingo. We got to something that's real and that makes me understand you as a person better. So now when I want to work with you, I'm going to be able to help you get to where you want, but I'm also going to understand what drives you. What's the way to motivate you? What's the way to piss you off? What drives you? What's your origin story, right? Which is so important to, like, for me, number one reason to hire somebody is to not understand them. If I don't understand you, I don't feel comfortable around you. Like, I don't get who you are. I can't work with you. I can't help you. I'm not cool with that. So that's the thing that I try to get at. And it's funny how many people, and we're included in this, although we're people that have explored themselves a lot and try to learn more about ourselves, that still there's like a simple interview where both of us come out of it and go, oh shit, there's some things I never realized about myself, right? So, all right. So what are our tips to people and what is something valuable here? If you're an entrepreneur, how does this, us talking about like the origin stories in our childhood, how that influences us, what are we telling people to do with this?
Yeah, I think it's just like you said, like it's almost like every time you think about where you came from, if you put the lens of trying to understand your existing current behavior, I think it always opens your eyes to like some little explanation of why you might be making decisions a certain way. So the takeaway here and the way I think about it is like, you don't obviously want to always be nostalgic or reminisce things and stuff like that for no purpose. But for many of you that might not exactly know what you want to do in 5 or 10 years or not even know why you're doing what you're doing, just think about your childhood and just think about those moments that are still in your brain that aren't hard to access. And just think about how they shaped you. Like, and then you should definitely listen to our interviews just to get an understanding of what shaped us. And that might give you some ideas. But like, for me, like if you listen to the interview, there's probably 7 or 8 things you could pull out of there.
Yep.
And for Stelly, about an equal amount of things on just what makes us who we are. And so just like a superhero ends up being a certain way, and through the stories that you see, whether it's the movies or the TV shows or whatever, you get to learn about their origin story. That's why they have flashbacks.
Yeah.
Like you might want to consider like doing your own little flashbacks of like, hey, you know, why am I so violent? Why am I so against something? Right. And if you really think about it, you'll go figure out that, well, actually you're probably against it because of something that happened in your childhood or some way that your brain is wired. Right. And so let me just give one example of mine.
Yeah.
And then you can give one of yours. Yeah. And that's kind of a way to do a tip. Right.
Yeah,
so
let's do it.
One example for me.
Before you do that, we're going to link up to both of our interviews in the show notes. So if you're wondering how the fuck do I find this podcast to listen to, just look at the show notes at thestartupchat.com or on the podcast and you'll be able to find the two episodes where we're interviewed.
Yep. So, you know, for me, it's like the more I thought about my upbringing and my own personality, I learned that like I'm very good at, if I'm around somebody enough, I end up mimicking their behavior. Like I know a lot of humans do that like in general, but like I do it really well.
Yeah.
You'll notice, you can even notice this about yourself, like where, and I've noticed this about myself, if I'm in company of certain people, especially people I maybe I don't even know that well, but I want to get to know better, you'll see me sitting like that. And it happens automatically. And there's some science behind it. But anyways, outside of that, the thing I learned about myself more recently as I thought about this, and a good example is like, I'd watch my dad and I actually ended up believing my own reasoning from my childhood about his behavior and why he was like that. And then I set that as a bar for myself. I made it up. Okay. So like these days I'll go ask my dad for advice and I'd expect a certain answer. Uh-huh. I might get the opposite answer. And it's because my preconceived notion as I watched him growing up was formed during that time about him and how I should be because of that. Because he was my parent figure. Father figure, literally.
All right. So for me, I think that, I don't know. I think that the biggest story that I think I told myself about, you know, how my childhood impacted me was just like all the shit that I got in school from teachers and from other people telling me that I'll never amount to anything, kind of trying to prove them wrong. Also knowing that, you know, my father's death and all that influenced me in that I was trying to live up to. It's interesting. So my character is a lot more like my grandfather from my mother's side, where it's like I'm more outgoing, I'm more loud, I'm more extroverted in a lot of ways. But I'm also in a less visible way to most people, a lot like my father, who was a very quiet guy, not ambitious at all, didn't want to start a business, didn't want to start anything, just wanted his job, come home, watch television, like read a book, eat some chocolate. Like that's it. He was a very like simple, calm guy that a lot of people loved because he was fun to have around. It was a very like calming kind of teddy bear kind of an energy, which is not something that you would associate myself with. So the funny thing is that I think growing up, I wanted to be more like him in the way that I admired his character versus his charisma. And I always felt like I had a lot of charisma, but I didn't feel like I had the same character as him. And I remember like growing up beating myself up over this by telling myself he would not love me. He would not be proud of me because I'm so different from him. But growing up, I've learned to both realize that I'm more like him than I realized being young. And I am both extroverted and introverted. I am most at my most happiest either on stage with like 5,000 people in the audience or completely alone with nobody around me. Like that's the two statuses that I operate in. And for my birthday, I just recently turned 33 and people were like, what did you do on your birthday? Did you do this amazing, crazy party? Because people think I just fucking go nuts on my birthday and crazy. I'm like, I was just hiking by myself. That was my birthday, which was, I just want to be alone for a fucking day. Like that's what I really wanted for my birthday. So I realized that I have both of them. And I also realized that the reason why I was not my entire life just depending on my charisma and being proud of that and buying my own bullshit was that I had my father as a counter figure for what it is to live a good life and to live a life that a lot of people respect and wanting to live up to that as well. Not just being like my grandfather was like somebody that had a lot of charisma, but maybe not as much character in terms of like his decisions in life, but trying to live up to my father's example as well, which was which is not something entrepreneurial that gave me a lot. Like, I'm not like, I want to be as amazing an entrepreneur as my dad because he wasn't. He was the opposite of it. But I always wanted to be somebody who has more character and it has somebody that lives up to that standard as well. And I think that shaped me significantly in like how hard I was on myself and how critical I've been on myself and how much I've worked on my character, not just being more and more charismatic. Anyways, when you hit on the childhood thing, there's a lot of rambling. That's going on.
So then that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's us for today, guys. Share your origin story with your team, yourself, with others, or with us. I'm definitely interested to learn and hear more of these from more entrepreneurs for sure.
Absolutely.
Did you pick one of the two action items from Stelly and Heaton already? Do that now and snap into action. It's time to grow your business.